There we go. Those of you who were here last week remember that we talked about the significance of the Feast of Sukkot, the feast that acknowledges and celebrates the continuity of God's presence and care. Isaiah 12 references Psalm 118. 118 is one of the psalms associated with the Feast of Sukkot. It would have been recited during that celebration. And Isaiah 12 concludes the drama outlined in Isaiah 1 through 11, chapters 1 through 11, wherein the prophet recites the sins of Judah, predicts the Assyrian invasion, then foresees the end of the Assyrian threat and the beginning of deliverance and peace. Isaiah likens this deliverance to the deliverance from Egypt, i.e., the continuity of God's presence. He does this by invoking the imagery of the festival of Sukkot. This particular reference, drawn from Psalm 118, speaks to the moment when the Red Sea closed with the Egyptians on the far side and the Hebrews on the safe side. And Miriam breaks out in song and leads the women in a jubilant song celebrating God's deliverance, and her song is known as the Song of the Sea. Isaiah 12 uses the language of the Song of the Sea. The Lord is my strength and my might and has become my salvation. He borrows another phrase from Psalm 118 as well. God is my salvation. He also borrows from Psalm 105, another psalm extolling the story of the Exodus, when in verse 3, Isaiah says, "Give thanks to the Lord and call on God's name." So Isaiah is telling his audience that though tragedy and upheaval and grave difficulty might be the norm in the future, hearkens only hardship and disappointment, do not despair. Why? Because God is our salvation. Salvation like unto the Exodus from slavery to freedom, from foreign land to promised land. We will sing of God's greatness and salvation as did Miriam and Moses on the freedom side of the Red Sea, he tells them in so many words. But then Isaiah inserts a reference unknown in the Psalms when he says, "You will draw water with joy from the springs of salvation." In Isaiah 8, the prophet describes the Assyrian threat like a mighty floodwaters that would flood Judah, water representing chaos and disruption, uncertainty, and devastation. But here, he offers a different image. Here, he references the Pool of Siloam. You might read John chapter 9, where there's a reference to the Pool of Siloam. A quiet pool with living water in the heart of Jerusalem. The Talmud says that priests would draw water during Sukkot, then process with it to the temple and pour it as an offering on the altar. The trumpets would blow and the congregation would raise a mighty chorus of praise. If you've ever been in a worship service where the congregate sang a rousing hymn with full throat and lung, and you know what happens. One singer ignites another, the singing becomes a cacophony of mutual elevation and encouragement. It dawned on me last night, actually. We have experienced this, have we not? When we refuted the traditional plan passed by the General Conference and recast the Battle Hymn of the Republic to sing it that day. "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of all before God's judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer God. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on." In the beauty of the lilies. Christ was born across the sea, and with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me, as he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. Our God is marching on. Did we not experience a corporate sense of elevation and encouragement as we sang that hymn and hope for the future?
Yes.
All right. So can we not capture Isaiah's message here? References to the Exodus, references to the Feast of Sukkot, to the recollection of God's impossible act of salvation in the midst of hopeless future. To the acknowledgement of God's continuity of salvation celebrated by Sukkot. Isaiah is telling us there is solid rock beneath our feet even when we think we're in quicksand. But he's telling us something else as well. There's a trajectory in this passage that speaks to how God's salvation unfolds. We can't see it in English, but Isaiah uses the single form of you in verse 1. You will say, you yourself will say, you will speak of your consolation and recognition of God's grace and salvation on that day when God's comfort replaces your despair. This is like one believer speaking to another believer, telling her all will be well, even though at this moment she cannot see or feel it. And do we not know of this here? When one soul who is suffering is blessed with encouragement and hope, grounded in the lived experience of another soul. Do we not here know the mutual blessing of one another's testimonies? So it is in verse 3, Isaiah changes the singular you to the plural you. And here he declares that the community can hold hope. The hope one ignites, the hope of many, and you will all draw water from the wells of salvation. And you all will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord and call on God's name. But then, what comes next in that same sentence? Make known God's deeds among the nations. This blessing, one to another and then many to each other, is now to be radiated out to the world at large. I like how Susan Olson of Yale Divinity School explicates this particular part of Isaiah. She says, it is the task of those within the circle of thanksgiving to make the deeds known to the nations. The experience of thanksgiving is not an individual one, or even one kept within the safety of one's faith community. It is to be shared. And we should read Circle of Thanksgiving as another way of talking about blessing, for thanksgiving arises from blessing, does it not? For in our gratitude to God and the thanksgiving, it prompts us also to move to bless. It is the act of this sharing that the salvation of God is unveiled. It is the act of this sharing that those in despair can grasp hope. It's in this act of sharing that those who are floundering through life can discover the anchoring comfort of faith and the peace of Christ. It is this act of sharing that chaos and division and all manner of discord can be remedied by the God of our salvation. This is our work. This is our privilege. May we take it to the bank. Now I invite you.